grace the Lord nishun gedev. We have this verse. I was thinking maybe we can read it a little later on. We'll chant the verse. But because it kind of brings us to the conclusion of our discussion today, I think we'll do it at the later. So we can, maybe we can discuss the incidents that, or the pastimes of the Lord appearing, that began, you could say, with an offense by some doorkeepers on the perimeter or the outskirts, just in the perimeter of Vaikuntha, the great sages, four Kumaras had come to see Lord Narayan, but the gatekeepers forbid them, thinking they were something, children or not qualified. Somehow or other, they didn't understand their position, and because of that, four Kumaras became upset, apparently, and Lord Narayan came personally to ameliorate the situation, and it was decided that the Lord was so concerned that his devotees were insulted that he said, "I'm prepared to lop off my arm, for if my arm does anything that's disagreeable to the devotees of the Lord, I'm prepared to lop it off." He apologized for the offense of his servants, and it was decided that they had to be banished, those two doorkeepers, at least for some time. Not permanently, but for some time. And so they were given the choice that they could go to the material world, because their mentality was unbecoming for those living in Vaikuntha, according to the Kumaras. They don't belong there. So they were given the choice. They could take 7 births as devotees in the material world and then return to their services, or they could take 3 births as demons and then return. So the devotees, the Jai and Vijay were their names, they were so eager to get back to their services that they preferred to take 3 births as demons. And then they went down and they became, they took their birth and Diti was the mother. And that's also another incident. There was some irregularity in the conjugation between husband and wife, and the result was quite extraordinary, that because of that irregularity, she got these two, demons now. Everyone's a devotee at some point, originally. Nitya Krishna, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhu Kabanoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Koreye Udoy. Everyone by nature is Krishna conscious, but sometimes they forget. In this case, this is an extraordinary case, but they were playing the part of demons. For this drama, as Prabhupada explains, sometimes the Lord likes to fight. He has this tendency to fight. But who will be able to fight with him? Because he's so great. No demon could could fight with him because he has so many energies, he can blow them away with his energies, his separated material energies. Maya dakshena prakriti suyutari sacharacharam hetunanena kontaya jagavipariparitate. The material energy herself is certainly powerful enough to destroy universes and demons within the universes. But when the Lord wants to fight, he allows some of his devotees to. It's like a mock fight for him, because there's no real danger of him losing, but still he enjoys. So they got to play that role, that part, as demons. And so when they took their shelter in her womb, there are many inauspicious signs, meteors and all kinds of horrible, untimely events. And when they took their birth, it was really devastating, the effect that these two demons, their appearing, had on the universe. Those who knew, they could tell that these signs indicate some great demons have taken birth. Inauspicious. So they took their birth. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyakashipu, let's see now, which one was the elder? Hiranyakashipu was the elder, right? Because his elder, because later on, Hiranyaksha. That means because they were twins, it means that he was born second. The first one to come out was Hiranyaksha, and the second one to come out was Hiranyakashipu, but he was older, because he was conceived first. The two, the individual souls are put in. First the oldest one is put in, the younger one. So, not older by so much time, but still elder. And so they were terrorizing the universe. And Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that even when he moved his eyebrows, the demigods were in great fear. And he was able to conquer even Indra, remove Indra from his palace, take over. How much power he had. And then he wanted to, he wasn't satisfied with the power that he had, although it was very great, but he wanted to get more. He wanted to become immortal. So he worshipped Brahma. But that was, he wanted to perform austerities to gain the blessings of Brahma. He thought that Brahma would be able to give him immortality. And with immortality, then he would be able to live forever and not have to worry about death. So in order to do that, he decided to go and perform austerities. Uh, And when he left to perform the austerities, Indra and the other demigods, they, before he left, this is an important point, before he left, he impregnated his wife. And so she was arrested by the demigods, who thought this is the perfect opportunity to at least make sure that we don't have another Hiranyakashipu coming out as the son. So they were planning to keep the wife in custody until she gave birth, and then they would immediately kill the child. That was the plan. But Narad Muni, he appeared on the scene and said, Indra, what are you doing? And Indra explained that we're not going to harm the mother, we're just going to kill the child because he'll be a big demon. And Narad Muni revealed that he won't be a demon, he'll be a devotee, and you wouldn't be able to kill him anyway. So they had so much faith in the words of the great sage Narad Muni that they immediately accepted, and they circumambulated that cute, wasn't it? Her name? Kayadu. So they circumambulated Hiranyakashipu's wife because she was carrying this great devotee. And Narad Muni took her to his ashram for safekeeping. And now she was greatly harassed and worried that she would be killed while her husband was away. So Narad Muni gave her a benediction that would not, she would not give birth until her husband returned. So that was a long time. That explains why, because otherwise it doesn't work out, the timing, if the child is only 5 years old and he was away for 125 years by the calculation of the demigods. Demigods, each one day of the demigods equals 6 months on earth. This is the Svargaloka timing. So 6 months means 180 times, and 125 years of the demigods. So 125 times 180, that's how long he was there performing those austerities. So she got the benediction from Narad Muni that her pregnancy would go on. I don't know if that's a benediction. At least the child wouldn't be killed and wouldn't take birth. And there was a long time for hearing. And Narad Muni gave a lot of instructions to Prahlad Maharaj during that time. And Prahlad Maharaj, he was in the womb, but he wasn't just lying there in a stupor. He was fully absorbed in hearing every word that Narad Muni said. And he was getting all the realizations. He was understanding everything by the mercy of his spiritual master. His spiritual master was Narad Muni. So this went on for a long time. Prahlad Maharaj was getting such wonderful instruction from his spiritual master. Similarly, we have to go on reading Prabhupada's books, our spiritual master. We have to hear and hear again and go on hearing and hearing. And eventually, we'll get some realization. So, he performed his austerities. Hiranyakashipu was, he was a great yogi, in a sense, because he could perform, at least Tyagi, he could perform all these austerities. He had mystic powers. He could do so many things. He was managing the whole universe, which normally it took 330 million demigods to manage with all their mystic powers, and he was doing it by himself. So he already had great powers, and he could undergo this austerity. So he was standing on his tiptoes with his arms upraised, and he was still, completely still. And because he was standing still and not moving, the ants came and they started eating. You know how the ants do. They start eating when they see some edible is there. And then they build ant hill. Yes, they build an ant hill. And they cover, the ant hill just keeps building up until it covers. I've seen an ant hill, maybe, what's the highest ant hill you've ever seen? I've seen a photograph of one. What's the highest one you've ever seen? Yeah. I saw one over 20 feet. 20-foot ant hill. That's in Africa. I saw it. Kavi Chandramaraj took the photo. He was standing next to it, so that's how I could tell how high it was. I know how tall Kavi Chandramaraj is, so I could gauge it. So, anyway, this anthill covered the whole body of Hiranyakashipu, and those ants had a long time, and they devoured the whole body. The only thing all the flesh, all the blood, all the sinew, all the muscles, tissue, everything was eaten. Only what was left was the bones. So just a stack of bones standing up like that. But he was so powerful, where was he keeping his life? You may say, well, I thought the soul remains in the heart. The heart was eaten. So it was all eaten up. No heart, just bones. There's no heart in the bones. But there's marrow in the bones. And so he was keeping his life in the marrow. There are 7 saptadhatu. There's 7 different elements of the body. And one of them is bone marrow. So he was keeping his life air there. And that's how he was able to continue standing. Otherwise the bones wouldn't stand up like that. They would fall down if he was not present. But he was keeping his soul so determined. Didn't care that his body was eaten up. And he was meditating on Lord Brahma. And because of this severe austerity that he was performing, fire started coming out of his skull and heating up the universe. Everyone was concerned. And finally Brahma said, that's okay, I'll deliver him from his austerities. And he flew down on his Audible. I haven't seen Maharaj since Audible. So, what was happening? Fire was coming out. Brahma said, I will go down and deliver him. So Brahma flew down on his swan carrier. And he had a kamandalu. And he poured some water from that kamandalu water pot onto the body of Hiranyakashipu, and immediately when the water hit, it restored his body back to the way it was before. Beautiful, strong, golden, everything. And he said, my dear son, why have you been performing these austerities? I'm here to give you anything you ask, any benediction you like. evidently, performance of austerities is pleasing to the demigods. That when one performs these kind of austerities and meditates on them, then they feel obliged to give some benediction. So he said, I'll give you whatever you ask. And Hiranyakashipu, being the great diplomat that he was, he took the opportunity. Brahma has come. I'll ask him for immortality. So he asked, please make me immortal. Brahma said, I can't do that because I'm not immortal. I can't give you something that I don't have. Ask for something else. He said, all right, give me the benediction that I shall not be killed by any humans, any demigods, or animals. Yes. And Brahma said, that's all right. It's so be it. Then he asked, and also, please grant me the benediction that I shall not be killed in the daytime or at night. Brahma said, so be it. And grant me that I shall not be killed inside a house or outside of a house. Granted. And that I shall not be killed on the land, in the sky, or in the water. Granted. And I shall not be killed, what is it, day and night. In the daytime or at nighttime. Those are the benediction. Any more? That's all. No weapons. I shall not be killed by any weapons. Thank you. So Brahma agreed to that also. So then Brahma left, and Hiranyakashipu felt that now he was roundabout way. He had achieved his goal. He had become immortal. And so he continued with his... he went back, and of course no one could do anything to stop him now. He was just unstoppable. He resumed his position, and now he had the son. His wife gave birth to the son. Okay? So, Prahlad was, of course, he had very much affection for his son, and he wanted his son to get the best education, so he engaged Shanda and Amarka. They were the Brahmin sons of Shukracharya. Great teachers in that particular line. And they were, they had the sons of all the demons were all being trained together in the Asurakula. And when Prahlad, because the age of education, beginning that type of training is generally, or the Gurukula is 5 years. So he was 5 years old. He entered there, and they were teaching him all about diplomacy, because his father wanted to pass on the kingdom, although still he thought he was immortal, but a natural inclination was that he wanted his son to at least share in his great kingdom. So the son was being trained and educated, but he did not like, Prahlad Maharaj didn't like that type of education where enemies and friends. He didn't see any, he was a Mahabhagavata, so the Mahabhagavata doesn't see any enemies. He sees everyone as a devotee of the Lord except himself. And therefore he has no enmity towards anyone. So while the teachers went away for tiffin time or lunch time, the Prahlad Maharaj took the opportunity to preach to his fellow students, and he would teach them to chant the holy names of the Lord. And he also instructed them that the purpose of life was to devote themselves to Krishna, to serve the Lord. There was nothing else. They were concerned that now that they were young, they wanted to play. And later on, they would take up devotional service some other day. But Prahlad Maharaj pointed out, this is all explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that no, you shouldn't delay. Don't put it off, because life is short. If one lives 100 years and he's sleeping 12 hours a day, and 50 years is lost, he loses half his life. And then in the youth, one simply wastes time playing. And in old age, he simply wastes his time reminiscing about his former days, and then the rest of the time making money, sex life, etc. And there's no time left for Krishna consciousness. Therefore, you have to take it up now. Komara achare pragyo dharma bhagavataniha. You have to begin now while you're young. But he was giving these kinds of lessons to them, and they were appreciating. The boys were appreciating. But it so happened that on a particular occasion, when they were having kirtans and these kinds of discussions were going on, the two teachers came back and they saw what was going on, this chanting, and they were very upset. And they felt that it was so serious that Vishnu was being worshipped. And Vishnu is the enemy of the asuras. Indriyari vyakalam lokam ridyanti yuge yuge. So the enemies of Indra, these were the enemies of Indra, and Indra is always protected by the Lord. So they felt it was very serious, and they went to Hiranyakashipu and they broke the news. Your son is teaching Vaishnava philosophy and chanting the holy names of the Lord, of Vishnu, and he's instructing all the sons of the asuras. So Hiranyakashipu became furious. He insulted them, the teachers. How has this happened? He gave them all kinds of insulting words. But they said, no, we didn't do it. And he said, how was it done? We don't know, because he's never seen any Vaishnavas. They had never allowed any Vaishnavas to enter the school or anything. They forgot that Narad Muni had already instructed him within the womb. Narad Muni is such a great Vaishnava. So Hiranyakashipu thought that he should speak with his son, and after all, he was young, and he could correct him by some good speaking father. Was it man to man, or father speaking to the son? So he brought him, put him on his lap, and asked different questions, and they were having discussion. But every question that he asked, or everything that Prahlad Maharaj said, was always extolling the glories of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnupada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani Vedanam. Then he gave his father some instructions that he should retire from this Grihamedi life that he was living, and he should go to the forest. But he gave a specific forest he should go to, Vrindavan. And he gave him all kinds of instructions like that. The father was furious. Where do you get this power? How can you? So finally, after trying and trying again, instructing again, ordering the teachers to make sure that he never got any chance to associate with any Vaishnavas. But still, Prahlad was incorrigible. So finally, Hiranyakashipu decided, well, you know, there's different ethics. And the ethics, even Chanakya Pandit says that to save a you can sacrifice a member of the family to save a family. So he had to save his family. Or to save a village, you can sacrifice a family. Or to save a nation, you can sacrifice a village. Or you can sacrifice anything to save yourself. So for Hiranyakashipu, he felt that this was a very serious thing. Everything was being jeopardized by having a son like this. Because the son didn't worship him. Everyone else was forced to worship him, even against their will. But he couldn't, somehow or other, he couldn't frighten this boy to worship him. And that was terrifying. So he decided, we're going to have to kill this child. And he ordered his constables to, first of all, just basically take him out and chop him up. And, you know, in little pieces and then distribute them. You know how the mafia sometimes say. Distribute them in the river or something. So that was his first attempt, but that somehow or other their weapons, the tridents and the choppers, they didn't have any effect on Prahlad. And then he sent him to the snake pit, and the poisonous snakes were supposed to bite him, but somehow or other that didn't work. Then throw him off the cliff. That didn't work. Then put him in the boiling oil. That didn't work. Elephants trampling him. Didn't work. Then cold. Put him up in the high mountains where it's icy, frozen. That didn't work. Fire. Put him in the fire. No. So he tried all these different things. And in every case, the report came back that your son is he's still living. He couldn't be killed. So he decided to take matters into his own hands, and he arranged for a very deadly poison. And to make sure that the child would eat it, he gave it to the wife. The mother had to deliver it so that the child would have faith in eating it. So he ate the food, but he offered it first to Krishna. Even it had poison in it. Sometimes this question comes up, what happens if there's some contaminations, you know, from Kali Yuga in the food? Does Krishna accept it? If it's offered with love and devotion, Krishna accepts it, because and it won't have any effect on those who honor that prasadam, because that's what happened to Prahlad Maharaj. He ate the prasadam with all the poison in it, but he wasn't affected. So at this point, this brings us to this verse, close to this verse. So let's chant, if you will. Satyam. Well, first I'll chant the Bhagavatam invocation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 8, Text 17. Satyam Vidhatum Nijabritya Bhashitam Vyaptim Cha Bhuteshu Akileshu Cha Atmanaha Adrishyata Ati Adbhuta Rupam Udvahan Stambhe Sabhayam Na Mrigam Na Manusham Satyam Vidatum Nijabritya Bhashitam Vyaptim Chabhuteshvakileshu Chatmanaha Adrishyatad Bhutarupam Udvaham Stambe Sabayam Namrigam Namanusham Satyam Vidhatum Nijabritya Bhashitam Vyaptim Chabhuteshvakileshu Chatmanaha Adrishyata Yad Bhutarupam Udvahan Stambhe Sabhayam Namrigam Namanusham Satyam Vidatum Nijabritya Bhashitam Vyaptim Chabhuteshvakileshu Chatmanaha Adrishyata Yad Bhutarupam Udvahan Stambe Sabhayam Namrigam Namanusham Satyam Vidatum Nijabritya Bhashitam Vyaptim Chabhuteshvakileshu Chatmanaha Adrishyata Yad Bhutarupam Udvahan Stabhe Sabhayam Namrigam Namanusham Satyam Vidatum Nijabritya Bhashitam Vyaptim Chabhuteshvakileshu Chatmanaha Adrishyata Yad Bhutarupam Udvahan Stambe Sabhayam Namrigam Namashitam Satyam Vidatum Nijabritya Bhashitam Vyaptim Chabhuteshvakileshu Chatmanaha Adrishyatad Yad Bhutarupam Udvahan Stambe Sabhayam Namrigam Namanusham Ladies? Satyam Vidatum Nijabritya Bhashitam Vyaptim Chabhuteshvakileshu Chatmanaha Adrishyata Yad Bhutarupam Udvahan Stambe Sabhayam Namrigam Namashitam Satyam True Vidhatum, to prove. Nijabritya Bhashitam, the words of his own servant, Prahlad Maharaj, who had said that his Lord is present everywhere. Vyaptim, the pervasion, like all pervading. Cha, and Bhuteshu among the living entities and elements. Akileshu, all. Cha, also. Atmanaha, of himself, with a capital H. Adrishyata, was seen. Ati, very. Adbhuta, wonderful. Rupam, form. Udvahan, taking. Stambhe, in the pillar. Sabhayam, within the assembly. Na, not. Mrigam, an animal. Na, nor. Manusham, a human being. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, "Where is your Lord? Is he present in this pillar?" Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, "Yes, my Lord is present everywhere." Therefore, to convince Hiranyakashipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee as declared in Bhagavad Gita is never vanquished. Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Prahlad Maharaj's that's Bhagavad Gita 9:31. Prahlad Maharaj's demoniac father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged his devotees, saying in effect, "Don't worry, I am present here." By manifesting his form as Nrisimhadeva, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion. So Hiranyakashipu had tried once again, and this time he asked him, What gives you the power to defy my orders? How can you not be killed? I've tried so many things." And Prahlad said that, "I'm getting my power from the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. Same place you're getting your power, I'm also getting power." And he said, Hiranyakashipu, "Well, where is your Lord? Now I'm going to kill you personally. And I want to see your Lord stop it." Because he was a diplomat, he didn't want to be accused of killing his own son. That's infanticide, and killing his own son. It's not good for one's reputation, and so many things. He tried to do it in a roundabout way, but now he was personally going to do it. And no one had ever been able to stand up to Hiranyakashipu. Indra was running, afraid, and all the other demigods. So what will this child be able to do when I personally... Maybe he's got some mystic powers, okay, but now I'm going to use my full force. So before I kill you, I'm going to prove to you that there's no God, that you there is no one will be able to save you." Because he wanted to enforce his own philosophy that he was the supreme. So he asked, "Well, where is your Vishnu now? Now that I'm going to kill you, why doesn't your Vishnu come now to save you? Here we are, Prahlad, I'm about to kill you. I'm very powerful. And where's your Vishnu? We don't see him. Is he in this pillar? Or this pillar? And Prahlad looked. Yes, he's there. Because he could see. He could see that the Lord was there. Krishna. Krishna and Sringadeva the same. So he saw Krishna. But then, the Lord, so Hiranyakashipu smashed his fist against the pillar, and then things started happening. There was some rumbling. It became so loud, the roar, vibrating, that Hiranyakashipu knew something extraordinary was about to happen, and burst out of the pillar came half man, half lion, Lord Nrisimhadeva. Lord Nrisimhadeva ki jai! And it just so happened that Lord Nrisimhadeva, he had many arms. And so the fight went on. So Hiranyakashipu was not a coward. He was ready to fight. He didn't know exactly what he was fighting, but he was ready to do his best. And so he picked up his sword and he was using. So the fight was going on, but it wasn't really much of a fight. It was more like the fight between a mouse and a big cat. Have you ever seen a mouse and a cat having a fight? There's no real. The mouse doesn't have anything to fight with, really. The mouse basically just gets mauled. So that's what was happening. Is Lord Nrisimhadeva, he was mauling, sometimes dragging him, sometimes letting him crawl away, and then grabbing him again like a cat does. And this was going on. There was a reason for this. It wasn't only to torture him, but there was another reason. He was waiting for the right time to come. It had to be not day and not night, so he had to wait for dusk. Because that was the promise that Brahma gave a benediction that Hiranyakashipu couldn't be killed in the day or the night. So it had to be just that time between day and night where he was waiting. And he did some other things too in the course of that event. I'll mention that after. So anyway, the fighting was going on, but when the time came, then the Lord took him, this incarnation of the Lord that had never been seen before, half man, half lion. He took him on the porch. It wasn't exactly in the palace or outside the palace. And he put him on his lap. Because on his lap wouldn't be on the land or in the air or on the water. Because it's his lap. You can't say it's land, you can't say it's water, and it's not air. And then, with his nails, it was the right time, the right place. With his nails, he was half man, half. So with his nails, he ripped open the abdomen of Hiranyakashipu. And then he took out the entrails. And he put them around his neck as a garland. That's called Antar. What is it? There's a devotee who has that name. He was from here in Los Angeles. He may have departed. I think he departed. Anyway, we'll think of his name. So then he wore the garland, and when there was blood sprinkled everywhere, in this way, Hiranyakashipu was killed, and the Lord protected him. He proved that. One, that he's all-pervading, that he was even in the pillar. And he also proved that the words or the promises of his devotees will be fulfilled. And he also proved that the devotee will never be vanquished, that he'll always be protected. So I think we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Lord Nrisimhadeva ki jai. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai.